The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at the 41st verse. Now every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You're probably thinking, my, how quickly the child has grown up. Just 2 days ago, we were celebrating his birth in Bethlehem, and today, the first Sunday after Christmas, the gospel reading has brought us to the time when Jesus was almost a teenager. The Gospels are rather silent about Jesus' life from his infancy through childhood and youth. Luke is the only Gospel writer who gives us this one story about Jesus when he was 12 years old. Wouldn't it be interesting to know a little bit more about Jesus' childhood? And to know a little bit more about the parenting skills of Mary and Joseph? To raise this special child. Now, I can imagine in many ways, Jesus seemed like a rather normal child. He didn't really stand out from the other children. It was much later that theologians began to wrestle with the human and divine natures of Jesus. Now, there were stories and legends about the childhood of Jesus which were never included in the Bible for good reason. For example, there was a non-canonical book called Infancy, which told wild tales about Jesus' childhood, how he made a dead boy speak, how he caused a playmate who did something bad to keel over and die. And when a schoolmaster attempted to punish Jesus with a whipping, the teacher's hand became withered. Of course, these stories were so out of character with the gospel story that they had no place in the scriptures. So here we have this one story about Jesus when he was 12 years old. Traditionally, this story was used by the church to portray Jesus' religious upbringing in a Jewish home. They went to Jerusalem for the festivals and so forth. And the story has been used as a reflection on Mary and Joseph's parenting. And thus the church has come to make this Sunday the Feast of the Holy Family. The Holy Family was used as a kind of model for all Christian families to emulate. However, as we listen to this story, we wonder how perfect and holy this family really was. Here we have parents showing signs of neglect when they leave their child behind in the Jerusalem. And then this nearly teenage son who seems to be going through some kind of teenage rebellion. How could Mary and Joseph go a whole day before realizing that their boy was missing? It reminds me of that comedy movie from years ago, Home Alone. The story takes place at Christmas when a family, too much in a hurry, jets off to Paris for a Christmas holiday, only to discover too late that they've left their youngest child behind. The plot is pretty improbable. How can a family leave home, ride all the way to the airport, board a plane, and then only midway over the Atlantic realize that they've left a child behind? Seems rather far-fetched. But ask a similar question of Mary and Joseph. They did, after all, take off from Jerusalem without their boy, not realizing until a day later that he was missing. They just assumed that Jesus was hanging out with the other kids or among the other relatives and friends. It could happen. But worse yet, this was the Son of God that had been entrusted to them. You can imagine how awful they must have felt. My, we start to panic even after a few moments when we've lost sight of one of our children. Well, it takes a whole day for Mary and Joseph to go back to Jerusalem and another 2 days searching for Jesus. Where would they look? If someone loses something, they might say, of course, it was in the last place I thought of looking, which is a rather silly expression because once you found something, you stop looking for it. So it is the last place. But there is a certain truth behind this phrase. The longer you look for something, the more unlikely places you search. So if you lose your car keys, you first check your coat pockets or your purse, and then the drawer where you usually keep your keys, and then the car itself, and then maybe along the driveway. And one of the last places you look is the refrigerator. You come to find out you had your keys in your hand when you put the milk in the fridge, which you bought on the way home, and they fell out in the refrigerator. Well, Mary and Joseph started looking in the more likely places where a 12-year-old might be, at the playground, in the candy store, in the toy store. Finally, after 48 hours, they start searching in some less likely places. What about the temple, they ask. We can't imagine why he'd be there, but we've looked everywhere else. Of course, in hindsight, they should have checked the temple first. Jesus was not exactly a normal child, and this seems to be a rather decisive turning point in his young life. Jesus was beginning to separate himself from his earthly parents and dedicating himself to the service of the Father in heaven. The temple was the place where God's salvation was beginning to unfold. And even though Mary and Joseph were told, even before his birth, that Jesus would be the Savior, the Messiah, this revelation continued to surprise them and confuse them. And when they found him after 3 days' search, they were more than relieved to find him safe. But they were also upset and confused. Child, why have you treated us like this? The story gives us a very down-to-earth insight into the nature of the gospel. We see the genuine humanity of Jesus growing up as a child, passing through the adolescent stage between childhood and adulthood. The text tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. We also see in this story a sign of Jesus' divine nature. He says to his mother, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Or as one translation, the King James reads, "I must be about my Father's business." We notice how Mary and Joseph continued to be astonished and confused. And later on in the gospel, we read how his whole family was upset by the things he was doing. How could they understand? Earlier in this chapter of Luke's gospel, angels with a multitude of heavenly hosts were singing in the sky announcing Jesus' birth. But here at the end of the chapter, we have an utterly earthly story about the challenges of parenting and a child growing up. I love that Christmas carol that we sang at the beginning of our Christmas Eve service. "Once in royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed." Jesus is our childhood pattern. Day by day, like us, he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles, like us, he knew. And he feels for all our sadness, and he shares in all our gladness. Perhaps this little story about Jesus' childhood serves as a reminder to us that after the heavenly joys of Christmas, we come back to earth where we live our everyday lives. What does it mean that God came down to earth from heaven? And it's not just that God came, but how he came down. Born like us. Raises a child like us. Born to a poor peasant family with a manger for his bed. Now that's something to think about. How the Savior of the world came to us. I'm struck by Luke's observation of Mary. He says his mother treasured all these things in her heart. This is the second time that Luke makes this comment. The first time was after the shepherds came to the stable to see her newborn son and who told everyone about this amazing child. And then it says that Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Now, the second time it comes following a troubling and frightening incident, a lost child. It seems that Mary was discovering both wonderful things and troubling things about her son. Throughout her life, Mary tried to make sense of it all. How well she succeeded, we really don't know, but Mary was always portrayed in the Gospels as teachable and on the way to being a true believer. There were times of joy, and there were times of doubt and pain and sadness. And a few decades later, she wept over her boy as he writhed in agony, dying on a cross. As she had lost him for 3 days in the temple when he was a child, so she lost him again for 3 days in the tomb. Mary is not portrayed as one who understood everything. But what she lacked in understanding, she made up for in treasuring and cherishing and pondering what God was doing. And so should we. That's what I'd like to encourage us all to do in this Christmas season. And as we enter the new year, that we take time to treasure and ponder the things that God has done and will be doing, to appreciate all the blessings of this life and the blessings of salvation and eternal life that come to us through Jesus Christ. One of my daughters is a labor and delivery nurse in a hospital, and without revealing too much of the personal information, she has some interesting stories to tell about new mothers. One time she was checking in an expectant mother, and she asked how many children she had, and the mother's reply was rather vague. She wasn't quite sure, but gave an approximate number. Or an expectant mother came in demanding that her labor be induced so that she'd have the weekend to recover and be able to attend some party that she had been counting on for some time, which she just couldn't miss. My point is that we don't treasure life enough. We don't ponder the things that are really important and ponder the things that God is doing in our lives. We're always in too much of a rush. We need to ponder. Irma Bombeck wrote about things to think about while ironing. Mary had a lot of things to think about while she was weaving or cleaning or cooking. So let us also take time to treasure and ponder the life of this 12-year-old boy who grew up to be the world's Redeemer and our Savior. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.